Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Yes, yes. So good to be with you. I love you guys a lot, and you get prayed for a lot. I talk about you so much, I think I annoy the people in Cleveland, you know? You know, Columbus this, Columbus that. They're like, stop talking about them. You're very special to me, and I do thank God for all of you. And right now, we are planning a men's conference. So we're trying to address, we're addressed couples, right? Bob got all straightened out over here, he's happy. We're trying to address men now because we figured that nobody sits down and talks to men and let men express themselves. You know, I'm frustrated with this. What's the answer? And so we got Brother Warren Henderson coming to address some specific issues. So on Saturday, there's no women allowed in the building, just men. I'm serious. Just men. We're going to cater in some food, and we told the women they're not allowed to come. On Sunday, however, we are going to talk to the whole family. So you want to bring your wife on Sunday, come on down, or come up. You're more than welcome. Also, I'll be traveling down to Texas to preach a conference down there. It's going to be in Spanish, so pray for me. There's going to be a lot of non-believers there. It's going to be a big outreach, an Easter effort. So I would appreciate prayer. For that, please. Okay, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hopefully everybody drank their coffee, right? I did, and I'm speaking, so how do you like that? 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16 through 24. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. And we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of your reason for boasting about you. And the Lord always blesses his word. Amen? Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but the Lord seems to always be dealing with me and pointing out to me through the Holy Spirit that there's more things that need to improve, more things that he wants to keep cleaning out of my life. So that I could be more effective servant of his. And so I praise God for that. He who began a good work will continue it, right? And so I can say in my own life that that's true, that work is continuing. The Holy Spirit is still convicting constantly and helping me in my walk. And I trust and I'm sure that it's the same with every one of you, right? We're not satisfied. We want to keep growing. Neither is the Holy Spirit. He wants to continue to work in our lives. And to create the image of Christ in our lives. Well, I don't know about you, but I would like to have the name of Billy Graham or Dwight Moody. Why do you think I would like to have those names? Because everybody knows who they are, right? I said those names and you know who they are. There are men who serve the Lord in a mighty way and they brought many people to Christ. But have you ever heard of Tom or Ken or Karen? Or what about Rachel? They're everyday believers who just serve the Lord. Few people know their names outside of their little circle. But one thing I do know is that they love the Lord Jesus, and they want to serve Him faithfully. Well, we all get inspired when we hear the name of Peter and Paul and Timothy and Luther and Calvin and Billy Graham and Billy Sunday. But what about those unknown servants? What about those who were faithful to serve the Lord, but nobody really knows who they are? Everybody knows who Moses and Aaron are here, right? I hope you should. Right? Even the little kids know who Moses and Aaron are. But what about the family of Merari? Anybody who know that, who that is? Family of Merari? Isn't that interesting? They faithfully took down the tent and carried the poles. Not exactly going to cause someone to get all excited to hear the testimony. Let me see, how did you slip the poles out? And how did you fold the tent? And how did you drag it across the desert? Their family doesn't really inspire us, but you know what? They were given that mundane task to remove the boards, to drag the tent with them and put it back up and put it back down when they moved. That was their task. How would you like to be given that responsibility? Would you rather be Moses or Aaron or Joshua or some of those big names? They were given the mundane task, the behind-the-scenes work. And isn't it true that sometimes we wonder if anybody ever recognizes, if we matter at all? All right, well, this is for you today then, for the everyday servant of the Lord that probably isn't recognized throughout the world or in many places, but faithfully serve the Lord. And so let's begin. Let me give a brief explanation. They were collecting an offering to take to Jerusalem because there was a famine going on. There was a great need. So the churches of Macedonia, of the area, were collecting funds so they can help the brethren out. As you know, whoever did that was taking on a big risk because of robbers and such. And so they needed men also who had a good testimony, who were faithful, who they could trust with all of this money that was being collected to take it and deliver it. So it was not an easy task. It wasn't something simple being asked of the people. In fact, there was a lot of risk involved. And yet, we start with our text then. But thanks be to God who put the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. So Titus was one of the men who accepted the responsibility to collect the money and go on this long trek through dangerous territory to deliver it to the saints in Judea or the Jerusalem area. And notice verse 17. For he not only accepted our appeal to be the man, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you on his own accord. And so this man accepted the responsibility, but they knew also that he couldn't go alone, that he needed a team. He needed some helpers. So I want to draw your attention to verse 18. And if you're the type that underlines your Bible, this would be a great one to underline. All right? I want you to notice verse 18 and 19. For we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. So just an immediate observation of the text tells us that this guy was well known. All the churches of the Macedonia area probably knew who he was. He was very well known for his preaching of the gospel, very respected, and it says that his fame has spread everywhere. Not only that, but look at verse 19. And not only this, but he also has been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work. All right, so there's this man who is faithfully preaching the word of God in all of the churches. He's being acknowledged and recognized. And suddenly he gets selected. So of all the men of all the churches, everybody thinks of this guy. But you notice what's missing. What is missing in this thing, huh? The name. Who is he? Who is he? Just picture for a moment if I write a letter, right? And I say, I'm going to recommend you the men of Columbus Bible Chapel. I'm going to recommend, you know, Doug and you know, probably Abe and the brother, right? And I write it down, and then I show it to three guys. The guy who I just said brother, he said, "Hey, wait, why don't you write my name on this? Don't you agree with me that he would probably get offended? Don't you think it's kind of like, hey man, why are you sliding? How could you do that? That's kind of rude, isn't it, to leave his name out?" But so for some reason, which is, I thought about this for a long time, for some reason the Holy Spirit chose, because he could have easily put John or whatever this guy's name was, right? Instead of the brother, in fact, it's more worth putting the brother than John or Sam or whatever his name might have been. Why didn't the Holy Spirit put his name down? Isn't that interesting? Now, this guy didn't get all offended. Paul didn't have to write a second letter and say, "Oh, you know, the brother, you know, we forgot to put his name in there. So we want to apologize to all the churches because, you know, his name didn't get written on, and this guy wants to leave the work because he wasn't acknowledging. How could you do such a thing to him?" And you notice that didn't have to happen? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I know men right now that if that were to happen to them, they would probably leave the particular church. So I find this extremely interesting that for some reason the Holy Spirit chose not to write down his name. Even though he was well known and he was so well respected that of all of the men, he was chosen, selected to go with Titus. Oh, by the way, Titus' name was mentioned. But not this man, who was well known, who was an evangelist, going to all the churches and preaching, and yet his name was not given. And so, as I thought about it, I come to a couple of conclusions, and I guess this. Apparently what matters is his character and his transparent life more than if his name was known throughout the places, or written down, if you will. So this text, when I read it, it really challenged me because I know that I would get totally discouraged, deflated, and not probably want to serve anymore if a letter like this was written and I was that guy and they wouldn't put my name on there. And so I started really digging in and thinking, okay, Lord, so what if my name doesn't get mentioned in a letter where I know that I'm one of the guys? How would I react? What would I do? And then the Lord spoke to me pretty clearly. What I'm looking at is who you are as a man, your character, and your transparent life, that you're faithfully serving the Lord more than if your name gets known and becomes famous or not. Somebody wrote, and I'm quoting, "The Lord would rather have one person who is 100% committed to him than 100 people who are only 75% committed." God knew who he was and how he lived, and ultimately the Holy Spirit wanted to show us that sometimes it's his will for someone to remain anonymous. For you or I, not to become famous or become great, but just to keep serving in our everyday task, in our mundane work, without ever becoming famous. And so, this is really impressive to me, the qualifications of this man, and yet his name is never mentioned. But oddly enough, you read in verse 22, and you see something else very interesting. Notice, "And we have sent with them," with Titus and this one brother, "our brother." So here comes a third guy. "Whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you." So, not only did the Holy Spirit choose not to mention the name of this first guy who was the well-known preacher throughout all the churches, and he was very responsible and they chose him, but then the Holy Spirit says, "There's another guy I'm going to send along with you who's an excellent guy, tremendous testimony, well known to all of you, but I'm not going to mention his name either." Isn't that interesting? I would love to sit down with the Holy Spirit one day and say, "Tell me, explain this to me, please." And get into the reasons behind more of the motivation. It was just as easy to write their names down to say our brother. And so, it's interesting because look at his qualifications. Look at his qualifications. We have often tested. By the way, before you're given more responsibility, you have to be faithful in what you're doing in your little task. Right? Amen?
Yeah.
We can't expect to be given greater responsibility or be given a greater ministry if we're not faithful in the little things that we do. And this guy was given some responsibilities, and he was doing it, and they said they tested him often. Did you notice that? Very wise, before you choose an elder or a deacon or somebody responsible for Sunday school or anything like that, that you be tested often, over and over again, to make sure the people of integrity, the people who are responsible, the people that have a great testimony, and they're going to be true consistently. As it says in another part, don't be too quick to lay your hands on someone. Lest Satan take advantage. Right? And so, very great wisdom. This guy was tested often and found to be diligent in many things. So if you, as you're doing your work, as you've been serving the Lord, have you been found diligent? Can it be said that you're doing your work with all of your heart, and that you're diligent in every way? You're a person of integrity. Your life matches your speech, but even more diligent because of his great fame. So impressive that these two men were chosen, and these two men were well known among the churches. They have great testimonies, very diligent, constantly tested and found to be true. They were chosen of all the men. They were the ones chosen. Which led me to another question. If they needed three women to represent this local church, to take some money and have a responsibility overseas, would you get chosen? If they needed three men, would you be chosen? Would you be considered? That man has a tremendous testimony. He's consistent in his walk. He serves the Lord. He's very diligent through all of the tests. Look at the way he lives. We trust him. We choose him. Would you be chosen? What about if they needed a teenager, a young man, to be responsible, a couple of you? Could they trust you to be the messenger? Would you have that diligence, that testimony, that life? I pray that it would be true. So, I find it beautiful what they were doing. Notice verse 19 then as we continue in our text. Not only this, but he also has been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered for us, by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness. So whenever we administer or do anything for the Lord, specifically when it comes to funds and money, we need to make sure that we're very careful, right, how we administer this work, and that it will be done for the glory of the Lord. One thing that I commend, I tell any full-time worker that they never find out who gives money in the church, because all of a sudden you're going to start favoring somebody and trying to put your arm around them. All right? So when I was in Houston, I never looked at how much, who gave what, never counted it. The deacons would take care of that. Never wanted to know. And I know a couple of elders who, as they were counting, got a little excited, and all of a sudden a couple of 20s went into their pockets. See? Yeah, it's happened. And so, handling money is just a tremendous thing. It shows who we really are. They were handling a large amount of money that was going to be delivered. They needed men of integrity. But shouldn't this be true of our lives anyway? Consistently, that we're men and women of integrity in what we do. Amen? And so, these guys were going to carry this money. And I've seen enough cowboy movies to know that, you know, the one guy has the money, and after a while, even he starts wanting some and puts some in his pocket, right? And they justify it in some way, and he walks away, and he has some money. But, you know, this is a very dangerous thing, and this is one of the main reasons the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ has been stained. Right? That's right. We have to be very careful with this. Notice what he says in verse 20. Taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. The world is just waiting for us to screw up in this area so they can say, you see, you're just like us, and all you do, all you want is money, and that's all. That's the reason y'all meet as a church. Have you heard that one? Right? And the way we handle our money speaks volumes of who we are. Speaks volumes. And so he says, we don't want to be discredited. We don't want to be discredited. Notice also chapter 6. Go with me to chapter 6. And look at verse 1 through 4. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, so we're working together with God, right? And then jump down to verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry not be discredited. So Paul was very careful everywhere he went constantly to make sure that he was very careful in his walk so that they could never point the finger and accuse him and discredit the work of God. That's the last thing he wanted. And I think all of us, it would be true, right? That's the last thing we want, is for the name of Jesus to be stained or be discredited because we were not careful in the way we walked and the way we handled the money and the administration of this building. And so these guys had tremendous testimonies. And yet we don't know who they were. But God knew, right? God knew. And that's what's important. So let's continue. These men were careful that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. Watch verse 21. For we have regard for what is honorable, all believers. Amen. We have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And so what Paul is saying here is, not only am I very careful, because I know God is watching me, how we administer the money, how I'm living my life, what I'm doing, that God's name not be stained, that is, the ministry not be discredited. We're very careful with this because we know that the Lord is watching us. But not only that, but what? In the sight of men. In the sight of men. Yeah, that's right. Men are watching us. So it's not just that God is watching us, but we have a testimony to uphold. Right? You know, there's actually a website where you can go on the website and they'll tell you which ministries administer their money right and which are questionable. Did you know that? So I go right to that, and like, before I give an offering, let me see if they're in that list. Because if they're not, I'm not giving any of my money towards that. Right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Amen.
And so you can actually go in and check. And there's some ministries that'll tell you right there, clean. Clean as a whistle, nothing to hide. It's all open, great testimony. And then you, no wonder God uses them. Right? Wow. So, these men had tremendous testimones. They were shown to be diligent, to be men of integrity, men who were consistent in their testimony, men who were trustworthy. So they were chosen to go along with Titus, and they were given this great responsibility, and they were going to be very careful how they administered it. They were going to discredit the ministry. They were going to do everything honorably because they knew God was watching, and they also knew that men were watching their testimonies. Then notice what it says. Verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. So Paul knew him personally, and he can trust Titus. He's worked with me. I know this guy. We can give him this money. He's not going to take some like Judas Iscariot, right, and put it in his pocket. He's going to be true. He's not going to do what Ananias and Sapphira did and lie and say they, you know, they had sold it for so much and give less. He's going to be a true man. And then, so I can trust Titus, but look at the next one. He's my fellow worker among you. And as for our brethren, the two guys, they are messengers of the churches. Notice what they are. What are they? A glory to Christ. Wow. That's a great thing that we should ask the Lord. I pray that my testimony, my life, the way I serve you, the way I live, would be a glory to you. That's a lofty goal. Isn't that something to shoot for? Lord, when the people see me and see my life, the way I behave, am I a glory to you? When my wife and children see me at home, am I a glory to you? When I'm at work, wherever I'm at, how am I, Lord? Also, in regards to the fact that the Lord chose in his wisdom not to give these men name, not to pronounce their name or to give their names, another thing is true here is that the churches acknowledged them and praised them, and they didn't acknowledge themselves. The Bible puts it this way: let another man praise you and not you yourself. And Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether he does what is pure and right. Do you know that, children? Did your mom and dad and some of the people here know if you love the Lord or not? By the way you behave? Wow, even a child is known. Even an adult, even a mother, even a businessman. It's hard to fool people. A lost person watches us and can observe if we do what we say. Believers also are supposed to observe an example of faith, love, speech, purity, and diligence in our lives as they watch us. Above all, God knows us more than anyone else, and he knows if we're right or wrong. So these guys were tested, and they proved to be diligent. Yeah. And so, there you come every day. You get up, you do your mundane task. You prepare your Sunday school class. You pray. You study the Word. You get ready. You go visit, you know, grandma or the lady in the hospital. You go do your thing. You're doing it for the Lord. Do it with all diligence. Without diligence. Without reproach. With all of your heart. So that you can be a glory to the Lord. So your testimony would be obvious. And then we won't shame the name of the Lord, right? We want to be careful with our testimony. And so you're doing your little work for the Lord, and you're going on for him. And sometimes we get discouraged because we say, you know, I didn't get acknowledged. The one thing that I love the Awana program, but the one thing I don't like about it is they spend half an hour once a year giving awards to everybody. You know, here's your prize, and here's your prize. Half an hour later, everybody's already like, okay, you know, here's your prize, and here's your prize, and everybody gets the tag, and you know, you put them on you, and it's like overdone. Why do we need prize? You know what? The music people, this is the outstanding singer of the year. He got an award. You know, if somebody comes up to me, we're gonna give you a preacher award. I'm like, please, I'll run and hide.
Hallelujah.
We're falling into the concept of the world where they're having the Grammy Awards and the Music Awards, and then the Christians are doing the same thing. It's like, what?
Amen.
Why do we need awards? Just serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord faithfully. And even if you never get noticed, look at here. My Sunday school teacher, he was just a faithful man, quiet, not very dynamic, always just teaching his class. And one day, as he was teaching the class, The Holy Spirit spoke to me through what that man did. Quiet little man, nobody knew in our church growing up when I was a little boy. And all of a sudden, the Lord convicted me as I heard him teach the Bible, and I got saved. Praise God.
Amen.
But I never told him. So 30 years later, I run into him. His name was Lewis. He went home to be with the Lord already. I said, hey, Lewis, come here. I said, I forgot to tell you. You remember when you were teaching the class way back in 1970, whatever it was, right? I think 74. You remember when you were teaching the class? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, you were terrible. You're always misbehaving. I said, yeah, I know. I know. You have to put me in a corner all the time, right? Yeah. Well, guess what? In one of those lessons that you taught, I got saved. He's like, what? I said, yeah, man, you led me to the Lord. You didn't even know it. He said, why didn't you tell me? I didn't know I had to tell you. But now that I'm an adult and I realize it and I ran into you, everything came back to mind. This guy thought he was wasting his time. But in his commitment, faithfully teaching the Word of God, the Lord saved me through him. So whoever's teaching the class and you think you're not doing anything, and where you're serving the Lord, God is at work. You never know. God is working and using your life. And I want to turn your attention to Hebrews 6:10. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, quiet people, all of you who serve, that nobody's probably going to ever know your name. You're not going to be famous. You're not going to be in an article or picture of the Missionary of the Year Award or the Mom of the Year or the whatever, right? All that stuff. But I want you to notice this text, and I want you to take it to heart. All right? Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name. Wow. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. How about we read that again? Listen to it and let it sink in. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name. The Lord Jesus knows who you are. He knows you by name. When you were inside of your mother, he knew who you were. And he formed you. And he had a plan and a purpose for you. And he knew you were going to be just a quiet person faithfully serving the Lord. And you might think that you don't matter, but you do. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Brethren, keep serving the Lord. The Lord knows who you are. He sees your work. He sees your preparation. He sees your prayers. He sees your testimony. He sees your life. He saw these men's life, and he chose not to give their name up. And it doesn't, I don't think that for one minute that they're up in heaven saying, man, Lord, you ripped me off. Why didn't you put my name in there? Gee, sure, you could have put it in there. They're up there worshiping the Lord and rejoicing in him. We worry too much in this life about acknowledgement. And I've seen men and women tear each other up because of this. But God is looking for faithful men and women who serve him, who every day scratch out a living and just faithfully serve the Lord. So you don't need to fret. You don't need to worry. Just keep serving him, and the Lord will recompense you in that day. Right, so we're going to do a little drill now, right? Having said that, who was Obadiah? Who was Obadiah? Somebody raise your hand if you know who Obadiah was. And let's keep it to younger people first. If you are 40 and under, who was Obadiah? You know who Obadiah was? Okay, well, we have 5 minutes. Turn 1 Kings 18:3 and 4. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We only have 5 minutes. We got to look at three other guys real quick. 1 Kings 18, 3 and 4. This is one of my heroes. I can't believe you guys don't know who he is. Now look at 1 Kings 18, 3 and 4. Quick. Now, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it came about when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Woo! You see why he's my hero? Ahab and Jezebel were wicked and evil, and they were killing all the prophets. But Obadiah, what a servant of the Lord. He took 100 prophets and hid them in the caves, and he would take food every day and water every day for over 3.5 years. He would take them bread and water and serve them and feed them. Man! And you didn't even know who he was. And yet look what he did for God. A great servant of the Lord. You see? Obadiah. Now you have a hero. Someone to look up to. Who was? Onesiphorus. Who was Onesiphorus? All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16. Who was Onesiphorus? All right, let's go real quick. 1 Timothy 1, 16 through 18. I changed my mind. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 16. Let's start with 15. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are that guy and Herma, that guy. Verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. There he is. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me, and he found me. The Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. So who was Onesiphorus? He was just a servant of the Lord who went and found Paul when he was in jail. And he encouraged him, and he constantly served. And he said, the Lord's going to remember that man. Mr. Onesiphorus. Who was Antipas? We're running out of time, so I'm just going to tell you. Revelation 2:13, Jesus called him my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you. So he was a faithful witness of the Lord who died for his faith, for serving the Lord. Who was Shobi and Machir and Barzillai? Who were they? Anybody remember? Don't go there. 2 Samuel 17. When David was fleeing from Absalom, because Absalom wanted to kill him, and he ran with his army, these three men came and they brought food and water and served all of the army and gave them food and sustained them. They quietly just served the Lord. And so this is a call to everybody who is just the regular, ordinary, like you and I. We just love God and we serve Him. And we want to die being faithful to Him and not worry about accolades or acknowledgement right now. The Lord is watching. He's going to acknowledge us at the right time. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Allow us to not be discouraged as we faithfully serve you quietly without anybody knowing who we are, but you know who we are. And we praise you for that. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.